Good morning. Thank Dave for leading us and you for participating. It's a blessing to be here, maybe a little bit of an escape. Was thinking we just endured Black Friday. Cyber Monday is coming up tomorrow, I hear, and I never knew about Small Business Saturday, but I found out that was yesterday. Not sure what the day is. We're not going to try to sell you anything. So that's an escape from advertisements to buy anything. We're here to enjoy the blessings of God and thankful that we can come together and share in the Word of God. I'm going to ask you this morning if you would turn to the book of Luke in your New Testament, the third book there, the third of the four gospel accounts that begin this book of the Bible. There we go. For several years, I have been contemplating and sensing from the Lord the need to take a look at this book, the Gospel of Luke, and to go through it systematically as I have opportunity to speak on Sunday mornings. And so we would like to begin that journey today. Begin to look at the Gospel according to Luke. And as we begin that, we're going to start with the introduction. And that's what we'll basically be looking at this morning, the introduction and somewhat of an overview of the book of Luke, hoping to get a little more acquainted with the general ideas of this book, so that hopefully in Sunday mornings to come, we'll be able to look in more detail at what the Holy Spirit led this man Luke to pen. So we'll start, if we could, by reading the first four verses together. Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. I'd like to draw your attention just to the beginning of verse 4 as we start. That little phrase, that you may know. That you may know. I'd like to suggest as we begin this morning that Luke, in penning this gospel account, had two interrelated purposes for writing. And I think both of them can be preceded by this little phrase, that you may know. He was very purposeful in his writing. It was not a random thing. He didn't just go here and there and yonder with some thoughts. He had something in mind as he sat down to write this book. One of those two purposes is very clearly stated in the introduction, and we'll begin by looking at that. The second purpose that I believe he had in mind can be deduced from reading and studying the Gospel of Luke, and so we'll look at that as well. So first of all, we're going to look at the beginning here of the book of Luke, this introduction in these first four verses. And we're going to see, first of all, he wanted his purpose to be that you may know the certainty. The certainty. And particularly, we find there as we go on in that verse, and we'll look at it in more detail in a moment, but that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. You know, it's very important to know with certainty that what we are hearing, what we are learning, what we are believing, what we are basing our lives on, what we are basing our eternity on, is certain. You know, as you go to the internet, if you use the internet on a computer or a phone, and you go there and you can find so much information, and I'm very thankful for the good information that we can find on the internet. But you know, as you go to the internet and you go to a site, it might be, I'll use Wikipedia for example, and a lot of people go to Wikipedia and there's a lot of good, credible information there. But when you go to Wikipedia or any other website, as you should with any book or magazine or radio program or television program or whatever media you are taking into your ears and your mind, it's very important to ask yourself the question, is this trustworthy? I'm going to share with you one of my pet peeves. Can I share a pet peeve with you? One of my pet peeves is getting email forwards that are false. You ever got any of those? You ever received any of those? Somebody probably, they didn't purposefully send it to you because, hey, this is false, and I'm going to send it to Mark Shelley and see if I can trick him. I'm going to deceive him. No, they looked at it, and it was interesting, and it sounded good, and I have to confess that in the past, very infrequently, I've done it. I'm very cautious. I don't do a lot of forwarding anyway. But, you know, when you get that and it sounds good, but then you go to one of the internet sites like Snopes.com or TruthOrFiction.com or HoaxSlayer.com or something else, you can go to one of these websites and you can check it and you find out this isn't true or this is partly true. Now, somebody started that email and they knew it wasn't true, but they had a purpose in mind, and so they sent it out. But anyway, that's my pet peeve. Just one this morning. I will leave you just one pet peeve. But I share that not so that you'll know what my pet peeves are, or even that you'll be more careful in forwarding emails, but rather that we'll be reminded how important it is to know the certainty of the things that we have been taught, the things that we have heard, the things that we are believing, and the things even that we are passing on to others. It's very important, and Luke took this to heart. You know, the same truth was presented back in the book of wisdom, Proverbs. Proverbs 22, let me read for you verses 17 to 21. Where the writer there says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you." The wise author of this section of the Proverbs knew the importance of knowing the certainty of the things that we receive and the things that we give. Luke had in mind and in heart one particular person, but not only one person, but this is the only gospel account addressed to an individual. We find him identified there in the last part of verse 3, "Most excellent Theophilus." The fact that he's addressed as most excellent or most noble would give us a thought that he was possibly and maybe even probably a Roman government official or dignitary. His name is not found elsewhere in historical records, so it could be that he was just a Roman citizen for whom Luke had a lot of appreciation and admiration and respect. But either way, we find that Luke, in addressing this gospel account, writes to a man named Theophilus. His name means friend of God or one who loves God. The friend of God. One who loves God. I would suggest that as we read and study the book of Luke, we come away with the sense that Luke intended this narrative for a much larger audience than just this one man. I'd like to ask you this morning, are you a friend of God? Do you consider yourself a friend of God? Do you consider yourself one who loves God? If you do, I think you can be fairly confident, very confident, extremely confident that though Luke doesn't know you and didn't know you, the Holy Spirit of God who inspired this did and does and will always know you. And I believe that this book was written not only that Theophilus may know the certainty of the things that he had been taught, but that we today who love the Lord, we today who believe that because of the work of Jesus Christ, the Lord on the cross, we too have been made the friends of God. And if that includes you, I suggest that this is clearly to you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I would suggest that Luke's heart would still go to you. In fact, we don't know for sure that Theophilus was a believer in the Lord Jesus. It's possible that he had read and learned and heard, but had not yet taken that step of faith to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Luke cared about Theophilus and wanted him to know the certainty of the things he had been taught. And God desires that you and I know the certainty, the credibility, the trustworthiness, the faithfulness of the things that we have learned, the things that we have been taught. The subject of the book, interestingly, you'll find it quickly as you go into it, but there's another book in the New Testament that Luke wrote, and it's the book of Acts. You don't need to turn there because our time will be short this morning, but let me just read the verse to you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. You'll find several things that will remind you of Luke. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So we find that the subject of the book of Luke is mentioned in the sequel to the book of Luke, the book of Acts. Luke wrote that one also, and he also addressed it to this man Theophilus. And he tells us there that the subject of his first writing, the book of Luke, was all that Jesus began to do and to teach. You see, the Lord Jesus is the focus. The Lord Jesus is the subject of this gospel account. It is so important for you and for me that today we know the certainty of what we hear, what we learn, what we believe. Because we need to have a defense against the increasing attacks on the Word of God and on the person and work of Jesus Christ. The increasing attacks in our culture. The increasing attacks in our world. The increasing attacks even among those who would claim to be Christians. We need to know the certainty. We need to be ready when those from a secular viewpoint, those from an atheistic viewpoint, those from an elitist viewpoint come and attack the things that we have learned and heard and believe. Luke said, I want you to know the certainty. I want you to have that confidence. When a young person comes to you and asks you a question about what you believe, God wants us to be ready with an answer. Luke says, O Theophilus, I want you to know for certain. And we live in a day and an age when the attempts to discredit and mock and belittle the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ are on the rise exponentially. Luke wanted Theophilus to be assured of what he believed and to have an answer for those who attacked what he believed. You see, faith in the Lord Jesus is a reasonable faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus is not just a feeling. Faith in the Lord Jesus is not just a blind leap in the dark. Faith in the Lord Jesus is based upon fact. It's something that can be demonstrated to be true. It's a tool to be used in evangelism as well as a defense. We live in uncertain times. We live in times when we don't know what the economy is going to be tomorrow. We see our morality going downhill away from the Word of God. The philosophy of our world and of our own nation going in a direction which causes us to wonder what the future holds. Scandal shaking our confidence in leaders of our nation. Revisionist history causing cynicism. The president of Iran denying the Holocaust and the murder of 6 million Jews by the Nazis. And our own history being revised. So that we begin to wonder what is true and what is almost true. Luke says, I want you to know the certainty. Where can we today find accuracy and honesty in reporting? Luke says you can find it right here. You can find it in my account of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. The certainty of those things. The certainty of those things which the King James says in verse 1 are most surely believed among us. The New King James says those things which have been fulfilled among us. The same thought in both of them. The idea being, Luke says, we believe, here are the things that have happened. We know they happened. We're certain they happened. You see, they were most surely believed among Luke and others who had seen and knew the Lord Jesus. I want us to just look very quickly, for sake of time, it'll have to be very quickly, at how Luke encourages confidence and trust in his gospel account. We'll just quickly look through these verses. Excuse me, I didn't put... Okay, here we go. All right. First of all, the fact that there was widespread interest and participation. Notice there in verse 1, inasmuch as many have taken in hand. Many had undertaken to write an account of all that Jesus had done and said. This was a widespread thing. As Paul told King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he said, I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention since this thing was not done in a corner. And Luke says there are many, many who have seen this and many who have written about this. Matthew probably had already written his account by this time. We believe that Luke wrote right around 60 AD. Matthew and also Mark, we would think that their accounts were written during the 50s. So before Luke had written, Matthew and Mark had already written. And there were likely many others who had written. And they are not included in the Gospels. They're not included in the Scriptures because they weren't inspired by God. But that doesn't mean that they weren't historically accurate. Many people saw the Lord Jesus. The disciples saw the Lord Jesus. Some of them could have written things about that, what they saw and heard and learned, but it wasn't included in the Bible. Doesn't mean it was wrong. Doesn't mean it was false. But it wasn't the inspired, infallible Word of God, but it could have been historically accurate. Many others had written, Paul said. And that's an important fact, too, that we bring out here, that we can know the certainty because these things were written. They were written narratives that could be examined and compared and checked. They couldn't be defended in the way that sometimes people defend when you come and say, what about the time you said this? I never said that. I didn't say it like that. Well, if it's written, then we have a record of it and we can look at it. And Luke, as we said, wrote about 60 A.D., less than 30 years after Jesus had ascended back to heaven. These things were written. These things were also accepted. We mentioned that, the idea that they were fulfilled among us. They were generally accepted as facts. Those who were Christians, those who identified themselves as disciples of the Lord Jesus. By the time he wrote, obviously, the church had been born. 40 days after the Lord Jesus went back to heaven. Am I got that right? Yeah, okay, here we go. I got to be careful on my counting there. I'll retract that until I can confirm it. By the way, speaking of credibility, two people, a brother and a sister in the Lord, reminded me last week that I said there were 7 million people in the world. They wanted to know where the other 6 billion, 93 million were. There's 7 billion people, I know that, but I got mixed up. So just to keep the credibility going right here, we'll make that correction. But these things were generally accepted as fact during that time. Again, not done in a corner. Also, there were eyewitnesses. Luke brings that out in verse 2. He says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. They're the ones who delivered this to us. Interesting, the word for eyewitness. And we're going to see in a minute, we're going to mention that Luke was a medical doctor. And the word that we have here for eyewitness is a word from which our English word autopsy comes. Autopsy begins with auto, self. It's seeing yourself. You're seeing it. And when someone does an autopsy, they are seeing for themselves what was going on in that body of that person who died. And the thought here is that there were eyewitnesses who had seen it themselves. And that they were sources for Luke. All the way back to those people like we read about in 1 John, where John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. It's very likely that Luke talked to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. It's very likely that he talked to various of the disciples before they died. It's quite possible that he talked to some of those more than 500 that saw the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. We know that he spent time with Paul, and we'll mention that in a moment. And Paul would have had insight from talking to others, all the way back to the eyewitnesses, to those he describes here as ministers of the word. Interesting, the word for minister here is sometimes also used back in that time period for those who were medical assistants. And they worked with the doctor. And so these under rowers, these assistants, these ministers were working, as it were, proclaiming the word of God under the great physician, the Lord Jesus. These things were delivered. Their sources were eyewitnesses, many of them who were martyred. Know the certainty. We think about the credentials of the author who wrote this book. As I mentioned, he was a medical doctor. It seems that he probably had a lot of education. Not that secular education is going to make someone knowledgeable of the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned. But yet, as an historian, as a geographer, as someone who gave great attention to detail, we find that Luke has credibility. He spent time, as we mentioned, with Paul. The only direct mentions of Luke in the Bible are in Colossians and Philemon and 2 Timothy. Each time, Paul writing a letter and mentioning Luke. In Colossians 4:14, Paul describes Luke as the beloved physician. That's how we know he's a doctor. The beloved physician. We find in Philemon that Luke was with Paul there as a fellow laborer. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, near the very end of the life of Paul, we hear him say in his writing, "Only Luke is with me." A faithful man, a credible man, a trustworthy man who wrote, interestingly enough, 27% of the New Testament. Do you know that Luke wrote more of the New Testament than Paul wrote? Interesting. Also, accurate investigation. Notice in verse 3, he writes to Theophilus, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." This thought of perfect understanding brings out the idea of an accurate investigation. You see, Luke was inspired by the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God didn't take Luke's hand and just make it run across the manuscript paper or papyrus and write down. No, God used Luke. And Luke was still responsible to do the investigating. And you know what? When God wants you to do something, He doesn't expect you to sit on the couch and let Him zap the knowledge into your mind and bring the person you're to serve in before you and bring them there into your house so that you can sit on your couch and do the work that He's called you to do. No, we, like Luke, have to get out there and dig. And we've got to dig into the Word of God. And Luke said, "I'm giving it here to you. I'm going to lay it out for you, Theophilus." But you know what? There was work for Theophilus to do in the Word of God, in rightly dividing the Scriptures. And so for us, it was early. He said that they were from the beginning eyewitnesses. And he said, you know, "It seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first." He said, "I'm going all the way back to the beginning of the life of the Lord Jesus and all the way back to the beginning of His ministry." He said, "Others have written, but I am going to write as well." I think there's a challenge there for us. You know, John already witnessed to my neighbor, so I don't need to do it. No, there were other accounts, but Luke felt the impression of God upon him that he should write so that Theophilus would know the certainty of these things. And John might have witnessed to your neighbor, and Susie might have witnessed to your co-worker. But you know what? God might want you to do it too. Luke said, "I'm going to take in hand and I'm going to write as well. All the way back to the very beginning. Know the certainty." He said, "It's an orderly account. I'm going to write you an orderly account, Theophilus. Not disorganized, not random. Yes, inspired by the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God used Luke's personality. He used his writing style. He used his vocabulary, as he did with all of the writers of Scripture. But all the while, guarding and protecting and making sure that every word, every jot, every tittle, every letter, every dot of a letter was just what God wanted it to be." Know the certainty. Luke said, "This is credible," and this is a comprehensive, spelled wrong there, I'm sorry about that. Comprehensive. I left out an E. Don't leave out an E. But it's still trustworthy, even without an E. Comprehensive account. This account of the life of the Lord Jesus goes back as far as in time goes back historically further than any other. Matthew also includes much of the Christmas story, but we're going to see as we get into the book of Luke that we go all the way back here to the announcement of the birth of John the Baptizer. So he begins earlier than the other gospel writers, and he goes all the way to the very end. And he gives us the ascension of the Lord Jesus back to heaven. It's a comprehensive account, more comprehensive than any of the other accounts. And then as we brought out, this is inspired Scripture. This is, he was being carried along by the Holy Spirit of God. And so Luke provides an organized presentation of accurate evidence so that Theophilus could, and that we can know the certainty. There is a factual basis for our faith. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, there is a factual basis for your faith. Know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Secondly, the other theme, the other purpose I would suggest that Luke had, and one that many have seen and written about, is that you may know the perfect human being. That you may know the perfect human being. You see, as we look at the four Gospels, we find that each one of them gives us a different emphasis about the person of the Lord Jesus. Matthew writes to primarily a Jewish audience, and he speaks to them of the Lord Jesus as King. Mark writes to a Roman audience, and he specifically emphasizes the Lord Jesus as a servant. Luke brings him forth as a man, the perfect man. And John presents him as God. So all of these tie together to give us a beautiful, four-sided picture of the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the servant of Jehovah, servant of the Lord, God in the flesh, the man, Christ Jesus. That's presented for us in the gospel according to Luke. As Luke presents him as the Son of Man, perfect humanity. You know, there in writing to the Greek culture, and we believe that Luke was a Gentile, over in Colossians 4, where he is referred to as the beloved physician, Luke speaks of those who were of the circumcision, those who were Jewish. And then in a separate sentence where he speaks about Luke and Demas, we find there that they are not included with the circumcision. They are very likely Gentiles. He was very likely of the Greek culture. And in the Greek culture, they had the ideal of a perfect man. That's what the Greeks upheld. That's what they sought. And Luke, as it were, in writing to them, says, I've got the perfect man. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to present him to you. And we find that Luke, unique from the other gospel accounts, and Matthew and Mark and Luke together are often called the synoptic gospels, meaning, again, optic is in there to see, S-Y-N being the same. They were seeing things in common from the same angle, and they present many things that are the same, whereas John pretty much takes a very different slant on the things he presents. But Luke, even among Matthew and Mark in the Synoptic Gospels, he's very unique in several ways. For one, it's the longest Gospel. And you might look and you say, well, in my Bible, Luke has 24 chapters and Matthew has 28. But we find that verse-wise and page-wise, Luke has the most comprehensive, again, the longest of the Gospels. And in that, he gives more space to the birth and the childhood of the Lord Jesus than any of the other Gospels do. He's presenting him as a man, as a person, as a human being, all the while retaining his deity, but yet presenting him as a man. He has the most detailed of the Gospels, more facts about the life of the Lord Jesus than any of the Gospels. You can see here quickly this outline, just a general overall outline of the book of Luke. And two chapters given to his birth and his youth, and then several, a chapter and a half, to his preparation for ministry. And then for the body, the bulk of his gospel account, he presents the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. And many of those, particularly the last nine or ten chapters, things that are very unique to Luke and not found in any of the other gospel accounts. And then as the other gospel writers include his Passion Week, and then as Luke begins with an introduction, he closes with a conclusion. Oh, I messed up here. Okay, there we go. All right. Another one. the most emotional. And what I mean by that is that the emotions of the Lord Jesus are brought out in the gospel account of Luke more than in any other gospel accounts. Our brother shared with us this morning in the Lord's Supper concerning the compassion of the Lord Jesus and His sorrow. Even to the point of weeping is seen in this gospel account, as is His joy. His joy over sinners repenting. We find the emotions of the Lord Jesus. We find that Luke is the most inclusive gospel. Luke brings to our minds and before our eyes with word pictures the compassion of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Lord Jesus for those whom society cast out, particularly Jewish society. He talks a lot about Gentiles. Again, Luke was a Gentile. He presents even the Samaritans, the half-breeds, in a positive light. Women and children who had a very low place in that society of the first century are emphasized in His interaction with women and with children. Tax collectors and those who, in quotations, were referred to as sinners. We see the Lord Jesus in His humanity reaching out to all of these various groups. We also find that Luke presents the Lord Jesus from a most prayerful perspective. Not only the Lord Jesus preaching about prayer, but more often practicing what He preaches. We see the Lord Jesus praying. That's what we're going to see. If anybody didn't need to pray, wouldn't it be the Lord Jesus? You think about what motivates you to pray, and so many of the motivations that I have to pray would not be true of the Lord Jesus. But He was a prayer warrior. It's also the most evangelistic of the Gospels. Jesus presented not only as the perfect man, but as the Savior. The gospel message, evangelism, emphasized in the book of Luke, and salvation to all people. Again, bringing out that salvation is not only for the Jews, but praise God, also for the Gentiles. The preaching of the gospel is emphasized. No, Luke says, the perfect man. And very quickly, I'm just going to close with a couple of thoughts here. On His presentation of the perfect human who was able and willing to meet the needs common to humanity. A compassionate healer. There are 18 healing miracles recorded by Luke, the doctor. People suffering from a great variety of diseases, we'll see. A people suffering from demon possession. People even who have died. We're going to see the Lord Jesus in His compassion, in His humanity, reaching out to humanity and touching and speaking and healing with love. We're going to see the perfect man through Luke's pen as the skillful teacher. 27 parables recorded by Luke, spoken by the Lord Jesus. 17 of those parables are unique to Luke. If you study Matthew, Mark, and John, you'll miss 17 of the parables of the Lord Jesus. And not only in teaching by parables, but other teaching. Provider and protector. You see, there are other miracles besides healing mentioned. Feeding 5,000 people, calming a storm, and other miracles. And He's presented as a wise responder. Questions thrown at Him, and the questions never shake Him. He is omniscient. He's a compassionate healer. Luke is for you. This gospel is for you. If there is any area in your life where you need healing. Is there an area in your life, physical, emotional, spiritual, Luke presents him as the perfect man, the compassionate healer. Are there things that you still need to learn? Have you arrived? No, you haven't. None of us have. He's the one we need to listen to. Luke says, I'm going to lay it out for you. That you might know the certainty, that you might know the perfect man. Will you trust him to provide for your needs in any circumstance, even when it looks helpless? Will you look to him for protection in the storms of life? Luke presents him as the perfect man, the provider and protector. Do you have questions that are bothering you? He has the answers. Luke presents him as the wise responder. Oh, he writes that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. That you may know that perfect human being, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are excited about looking further into this book. Father, into this narrative that Luke wrote 2,000 years ago. Father, we see that it's still current. It's still relevant. Lord, it's what we need. We confess that sometimes some of us doubt. We wonder. We question. Our faith shakes. Lord, we want to know the certainty of the things that we have learned. Thank you for leading Luke to write this account, that we, through reading and studying it, might know the certainty of those things. And Lord, I thank you for leading him to present the Lord Jesus as Jesus, perfect humanity, the perfect man, the sinless one, God in the flesh. Lord, how we need to know him better. Father, how we long to know him better. And Lord, for any here this morning that don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, Father, might they know that He's not only the Savior of the world, He desires to be their Savior. Father, might they turn to Him in faith, knowing they've sinned, but knowing He didn't sin. Knowing they deserve punishment, but that He took the punishment that we deserve upon Himself there when He died on the cross. Knowing that though they are headed to death, He was raised from death to life. Father, knowing that He offers a free gift, something we cannot buy, we don't deserve. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for Luke's presentation of Him, and we look forward to growing in our knowledge, our understanding, and our assurance. And we pray this in the name of your perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord encourage you. I encourage you to begin to read the book of Luke, chapter 1.